Hey, fight fans. You're here on Caveman's Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Denz. We're coming to you live from the Fan Doozy Studios in Buffalo, New York. The wonderful Fan Doozy Studios that hosts this podcast, $100,000 studio. Doesn't get better than Fan Doozy Studios. I have with me my wife, Mrs. Caveman.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. To an all-female MMA show yesterday with Jay Kelly. He put it on, Diamond Fights. It was in Napanee, Ontario. It was like 8,000 miles away. We're tired. We haven't slept in like 2 days. So we're exhausted, but we're going to do a quick review of the show. We were inspired by a special fighter, Carrie Ziegler. Karis read her interview. She really liked it. Plus, she got like 3,000 views on my thing. So I'm like, I gotta have her on a podcast. So she can even get 3,000 views on a podcast. Shit, yeah. So we're gonna give her a call. She's got an inspiring story. It's a really good story, and she's got fans that actually pay attention to what she's doing. Karis is gonna give her a ring a ding ding.
Okay. Can I have her numbers, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Hello. Hey, how's it going, Carrie?
It's going good.
Good, good. This is Caveman, and I'm here with my wife,
Hi.
Karis.
Hi, how are you doing,
Hi.
Carrie?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, we wanted to call you and have the podcast, number one, because your interview got like 3,000 views, so I figured you were the best person to grab. And we wanted to go over the Diamond Fight Show.
Awesome.
What did you think about Jay Kelly's show?
What did I think about Jay Kelly's show? It was very well. It was put on really well. I enjoyed myself, and I think the fans enjoyed themselves as well.
Only because of your fight. That was a killer fight. Fight of the night.
Yeah, that's why.
It was very exciting to get fight.
Yeah. How did you like those gangster headset? Did you try it yet?
Did I what? Sorry?
Did you try that gangster headset yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. That was a compliment of Rich Mitchell. He has his own organization over here, Ground Force Fights. Got to give him the cheap free plug.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You have to come over and fight for Rich Mitchell. He is probably one of the best promoters we have run into in the MMA business. And he really takes care of the fighters. And I think the USA can use a female fighter like you to come over and just put on a great show.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
You're a little bit shy, but can you tell your story, how you started and you lost so much weight doing MMA and what got you involved in it originally?
Right, so originally I was over 200 pounds and I just wanted something to just change. I was just feeling down and, you know, like every other girl, every other mom, you definitely want to do something. So I started going to the gym. I had a nephew, probably a lot of people in the States would know him, Blair the Wild West. He was ranked number 2 in New York at one point in time and he just motivated me to go to the gym. So I just started going under personal training and lost the weight and just kept going from there, and I'm still going, and that's what made me, you know, get involved in personal training myself. I just have to write an exam for that, and I inspire women to keep doing it. I train women's class. I'm doing it tonight, even though I'm a little hurt, but you know what? They're in it. They need to, you know, they want to better themselves, and I'm there to help them.
That's awesome. What got you into fighting?
What got me into fighting? It was more of just personal training, and I just liked it. I've always been a little bit of a street fighter, so I've always had that little bit of a crazy side to me, but I just kept going with it, and I really enjoy it.
Did you ever play hockey?
No.
I was thinking while I was watching your fight, I was just waiting for a hockey game to break out.
I don't play hockey. I played a lot of sports in my time, and hockey is not one of my best things at all.
I mean, we were just sitting in an arena in Canada. It looked like a hockey fight at times. You're grabbing each other, punching each other in the face. It was a really, really good fight.
I was amazed at myself for my second fight. My first fight didn't go so well at all. We don't even want to talk about that one. And, you know, I was amazed to even last the 3 rounds, and she was definitely a warrior. I said I was going to go in there and give it all that I got, and I did. I put my heart in there, and it showed.
What I love about your fight is that and that's one thing I love about women's fight is a lot of women comes out and I love the aggressiveness that you come out with. And your aggressiveness really lasts throughout all 3 rounds, which has a lot to do to your cardio also, because you have to keep up with that pace. So what do you do that helps you with the cardio to do three rounds like that with such an aggressiveness and just such a high pace?
Definitely a lot of cardio training at the gym. You know, ladders, number one thing. You could never get enough ladders. To be honest, I hate running. I don't run. That doesn't help me. Skipping helps a lot, but just going in there and staying, you know, a lot of your cardio strength exercises keeps you going. And I was really tired. I won't even lie. I was tired through the whole thing.
But you really can't tell as we were sitting there, you and Stacy, both of you just went out there and just really put it out there. So it was very, very exciting to watch you guys fight like that. So what can you just tell us, like, what would be like a typical training day for you at the gym as a mom? Like, what do you do with home, with your children that, you know, because obviously as moms, we have a lot more responsibilities at home. How do you kind of get yourself ready for the gym? And what do you do at the gym or typical day?
Well, my typical day, you know, I do work a good 8-hour shift. I'm an assistant manager, so, you know, there is high demand. I am always super busy there. And then literally I come home from work and I'm at the gym for 2 to 3 hours a night. And my kids, you know, my youngest one's 16, so they know how to deal with stuff on their own. I've raised them to take care of themselves, that's for sure. But, you know, we're a team at home and we just make things work. And they're very supportive, so they're there in anything I need to do.
What about the gym? Like, what is your typical day at the gym with the 2-3 hours? What do you do in terms of training?
So we have certain nights. So like our Monday nights, we have just strictly boxing, and then Muay Thai. Tuesday nights, we have jiu-jitsu. Wednesday nights, we have kickboxing and Muay Thai. Thursday is jiu-jitsu. So, you know, we would do 1 hour of total boxing, and we'll do another hour and a half of just conditioning classes, or more broken down to where you have to focus on your techniques or your, you know, anything you need to work on to improve, we take that time and work on one.
What did you think about the uniforms that Jay Kelly had for you? Do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, I love them. I absolutely love them. They were well thought out. Yeah, they looked great. Everybody looked great.
Why do you think the Americans got the shitty looking ones?
Okay, yes. White, I never suggest white on a woman whatsoever, but all in all, they were pretty cool.
No, I liked them a lot. The purple ones looked really hot. I thought it was great.
So I have a question about the uniforms as well on this topic. So when I got there, I realized different people maybe have been offered different types of bottoms and tops. And I know at least one of the female fighter was not comfortable going out there with just the bra top. Now, what did you think about that? Do you think everyone should have been given multiple choices to wear what they feel comfortable? Or like one of the fighters, she ended up having to wear something over the bra top that is given by the Diamond Fight League just because she was not comfortable showing her abdominal area?
We all got asked before they were even made what we wear normally and what we would like. Oh. So we did have a certain say in what we were going to wear.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that was definitely brought up. We definitely had to, we worked one-on-one with Kat as to, you know, what our ideas is, what we would like. So that was perfect. She went with our idea, put and just made it happen. So, I mean, I respect everybody's decision. Not everybody may not like them, mm-hmm. but you know what? It was given to us as that, as an opportunity to wear it, and you know, for our clothing. So, you know, if they choose not to wear it, I guess that's their whole idea.
I talked to Kat after the fight. And I told her she did an awesome job. I thought she did a great job. She seemed very personable. And I'm glad you guys had the opportunity to wear that. Speaking of attire and women's bodies, do you think that women are exploited more sexually in MMA than men, or do you think it's about the same?
Sorry, what was that?
Do you think that women in MMA, like women's MMA, are more exploited for sexuality and how good they look as opposed to men, or do you think it's about even?
I definitely think women... women care about their bodies a lot, and men, they don't have that stereotype body type. I don't know. It's crazy, but
I don't know.
In the same sense,
I was gonna say Mark Hunt might want to wear a t-shirt. He's a little chubby.
Don't talk about my baby like that.
That's my wife's favorite fighter, Mark Hunt.
That's my Samoan teddy bear. You cannot talk about him like that. He looks good no matter how he looks. But do you feel like, so one of the topics came up, it was kind of half-joking ways, but in one of the fights we were suggesting, actually the two fighters were suggesting, since they are girl fights, with men, when men fight, they have ring girls. So since these are lady fights, that they should have had ring boys or ring men. What do you think about that?
I think we need a ring man. Absolutely.
I volunteer.
You think a ring man you think the guy should be subject to the same type of clothing that women are subject to when they're ring girls?
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm going to go one farther. I'm going to wear the Borat thing. I expose
not the Borat suit, but hey, Channing Tatum style, absolutely.
What does that mean? Is that Magic Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that, I think. No, I can't. I'm married. I'm sorry.
It's not that you're married. You're just not buff enough like Tatum Chan.
Yeah, I don't have any muscles yet. Someday I'm going to have muscles. I'm almost 40, and I believe one day they will pop out.
Like a late bloomer?
I'm a late bloomer. How much jiu-jitsu do you do?
Sorry?
How much jiu-jitsu do you do?
To be honest, very little.
Your takedown, you did have a couple takedowns during the fight. So do you wrestle? If you're not doing jiu-jitsu, do you wrestle?
I try to do as much jiu-jitsu as I can. I shouldn't say very little, but definitely some days are tougher for me to get to the gym than other days. And if I have to pick which days I really need to go, what day I need off, it's definitely a jiu-jitsu day I need off. But I do personal with my coach as well, and he goes over jiu-jitsu just one-on-one with me, so it's perfect.
How good did it feel to get that win?
It feels absolutely crazy good. I just shocked myself to even last three rounds. That was amazing.
That was amazing. And it's three-round action pack. I just want everybody who didn't see the fight to know that was a three-round action pack fight between you and Stacy. And I was so in awe of it.
It sure was. I haven't watched the video yet. I've had tons of comments on my Facebook over these videos. I'll bring myself to watch it one day, but for right now, I'm just not even worried about that one.
We train with Stacy. She's from our gym, so for the public knowledge there. But how good were her knees? It looked like she started hitting you with some pretty good knees from that over-under clinch.
Actually, I really don't want to offend Stacy whatsoever. She was an awesome warrior, but I train with a lot of guys, and I've been hitting the stomach quite a bit of time with knees that almost make me puke. So I really think, even with her knees, I think my training ahead of time definitely prepped me for that.
Definitely. You definitely look like you punch pretty hard. I've seen Stacy battle it out. Every fight she's been in has been on the feet war. I've never seen her knocked down. I think you dropped her twice. How many guys do you drop in training? Do you beat up the guys a little bit?
I don't know if you heard of Bobby Sullivan. He's very, very popular. He just went pro.
Right.
I train with him. He's one of our bigger guys at the gym. And, yeah, I have to do takedowns with that man. And I tell you, he's my big teddy bear. But I train normally, typically 4 to 5 guys at the gym. I think I'm the only girl other than a girl who goes there part-time. So a lot of training with men.
What the girl's got to do is part of being a woman athlete in the sport.
So I don't fight, but I do train martial arts. Culturally, it puts I had a hard time starting to do jiu-jitsu, which is a more close contest sport, with men. When you first started, did you have any of those reservations of working with men in such a close contest sport, in jiu-jitsu or wrestling, or really even Muay Thai because of the clinch work that's involved?
It's hard to hear you guys, but I think I think it's evenly as important to have the girls there as it is the guys. But the guys are definitely rough and tough on you. They don't let off at all.
What Karis asked you, she asked if you felt uncomfortable being in such close quarters with men when you first started training, because that was one of her problems when she first started training. She didn't like to be so physically close to another different sex, I guess is how you would say it.
Yes, the different gender, that was a hurdle that I had to overcome to do jiu-jitsu or wrestling, because it's such a close contact sport. Did you have any that type of issues when you first started training?
When I first started training, I wouldn't train in front of everybody. I was body conscious, I was self-conscious, and it took a long time for me to actually go into classes and start training. And the guys were a little intimidating, but you know what? They welcomed me with open arms and just helped.
So I guess the answer is no. She was fine training with the guys, so go do it. Train.
She sounds like she has some private lessons first.
Ah, whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that made me really, I really love your interview, because I feel I do share some of the commonality with you being a mom and being a bigger size girl. So I do understand what you're saying about the body consciousness. And, you know, to a certain degree, I still really do at the gym. Especially at my gym, most of the girls who train are much smaller. So sometimes for me, it's not just I'm a bigger girl. It's also in terms of size. I feel like if I'm on top of them, I feel I'm crushing them, not because I have tight knee, just because I'm a lot bigger. So you said there's only one more girl that trains at your gym, or did you, you know, when you're training with smaller guy or girl, do you feel conscious about your weight?
I have to say, the other girl is a little smaller than me, who trains there. I'm not conscious about my weight. I love where I got. I love where I am. And you know what? We're all in there. And they're training the same as I am. So we're not going to let, you know, we're in there just to play, have fun. And yeah, I'm not worried about my weight crushing anybody, hurting anybody, because I'm the underdog for sure there.
Well, I would say this. You don't ask the faster guys to be slower just because they're faster than you. You don't ask the more technical guys to maybe not be so technical. So if you're bigger, you just use your size. It's just part of one of the tools in your toolbox.
For sure. It just all works. I really don't know how to explain it. But
So one thing I heard you say last night when we were kind of at the end of the show, that you actually teach an all-women class at your gym?
I do. So it's literally, it is an all-women's class. I had several people come to me because of my story and say, you know what, I want to do something, I want to get better, start a class. So, you know, that's why I went, and I got my personal training course. And, yeah, tonight I'm there at 6, do the women's class. And it's all about women just moving. You know, they're typical moms, you know, people who work, who don't have time, but they're making time, because I let them know they are worth that hour of them. They're worth the hour to make the effort to change themselves.
So at this class that you have for the women, what do you typically do? Is it more like geared towards fitness, or is it more geared towards martial arts?
Not martial arts whatsoever. I believe you need the right to progress. A lot of them are just beginning. So it's more of fitness, more of, you know, doing their balance, their stability, getting cardio up, getting the heart rate going. No martial arts whatsoever.
If anyone wants to get in your class, how would they do that?
They'd just contact me on Facebook or through my cell phone.
All right, so contact Karis Ziegler on Facebook. I'll put a link to her Facebook in this one. We post it.
So what is the name of the gym that you teach at?
So the name of my gym is Inception Martial Arts Academy, Durham, Ontario. We do have a web page of that. You just look up Inception Martial Arts. And, you know, my coach, Derek Charbonneau, he takes care of all that. And you can even get a hold of him, and he would get a hold of me as well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like him. Even if he's a little short.
He is. I love that man.
What do you think about the Ontario Commission?
They definitely weren't as strict as the New York one was. So... you know, it ran pretty smoothly last night.
I was a little surprised by the way things ran. I didn't like some of the calls. I don't know, maybe it was just a referee or the commission. I thought they were standing people up really quick for strikes to the back of the head, and they were stopping fights at kind of weird points. And I was timing the breaks sitting in the corner, and some of the breaks were almost 2 minutes long. So I was just wondering what you felt about the Ontario Commission. And, I mean, you're from there, so you'd know a little bit more than me how things are going up in Canada.
But, like I said, this is my second fight. So, you know, I haven't had to experience much of that. But compared to when my New York fight was there, I did enjoy Ontario a lot more. They had little same rules, but, you know, they're there for everybody's safety. And after all the incidents that have been going on lately, you know, they're doing their job. They just want to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, and I know you guys had a lot of trouble with your commission before, so I was just wondering how involved you were with the actual MMA community itself. If you think New York is tough, you should try fighting in PA. PA is even worse. You got anything else, Karis?
Yeah, so I guess a string of questions that kind of connects to each other. I'm interested to find out, so how long have you been training before you took your first fight? And what is your long-term plan in terms of fighting? And what do you think about women's MMA? What's the future of women's MMA? How do you feel about that?
That was a mouthful, Karis.
I know.
That was. I'm thinking, guys, like, it was a rough night last night, and you're asking tons of questions.
I know. I personally try not to spar before I do any of these because you get your brain scrambled a little bit. She just asked you like three split fire questions as you just had a 3-round battle.
Hey, I drove 8 hours back and forth last night.
Yeah, we haven't slept yet since last night. Just so
I
know.
Have a good excuse too. No,
I've been my brain's been a little froze from ice all night and all day, but that's okay. So to answer that one question, so I've been training for almost 3 years and just got my first fight. I can't even remember when it was. March, May, I don't know. April, I have no idea. Anyway, a few months ago.
Okay.
And it took a long time for me to even get a fight because of my weight class.
Right.
You know, there's not a whole lot of people in my weight class. So it was tough. I would go to my coach all the time and say, can you find me a fight? And it was tough.
Right.
So every fight I get, every step, you know, is coming my way, I definitely have, you know, an opportunity to do it because, you know, it's been a long time since I was even to get one.
Yeah, definitely. It's tough for women. There's not as many weight classes as men, and there's just not as many competitors. So, I mean, the lighter weight girls have the same problem as the heavier weight girls. It's just hard to get matched up.
So what are your long-term plans for fighting in MMA? Is that something you're interested in doing for a long time, or
Well, that I really can't answer yet. Not too sure. Life's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never going to stop training. I'm going to keep going from here. And, you know, we cross that path when we get there.
So I guess the third question, that string of question is, what do you think about the future of women's MMA? Because obviously right now, I believe this is a first all women's card, possibly.
Invicta does all women's card as well.
But, you know, the big shows in terms of UFC and Bellator, women's fights are far and few between. Few and far between. I don't know. My English is not so well after driving for so long. But what do you think? Like, do you think women's MMA can get bigger? Will women's MMA maybe share half of the show from UFC or Bellator, the bigger productions? Or do you think women's MMA is good and it's going to stay this size? What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely think the women's MMA is starting to go. You know, women always want equal rights, and women put on one heck of a show, so, and that's what the audience wants. As you see, more and more women keep coming out, even on TV. More and more keep showing up, coming out, and that's what people pay to see. There's men everywhere fighting, but not so many women.
I know, and I think in the wave of the future of women's MMA, you're going to see a female camp start with all female athletes because females fight a little bit different. Their body types are a little bit different, different styles of fighting. I think the first female camp is going to come together and they're going to smash people. Ronda Rousey had four people But there's going to be a camp like Greg Jackson's camp, and it's going to be all women, and they're going to all the girls from that gym are going to dominate for a long time until, and you're going to see more and more all women's gyms pop up, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that, and you know, it'll be exciting.
All right, with that, we're going to let you go. I know you got to get to class. I'm about to go get my butt kicked too. I got to go train myself. Thank you for your time. You got anything to plug while we got you on here?
No, thanks for coming out, and it was really awesome last night.
I know, it was a fight of the night. It was a great showing. I got one more question before I let you go. We talked about you felt like throwing up a couple times sparring with a guy. What do you think about that Destiny girl that actually threw up last night?
It happens. She did amazing. It happens. Her opponent definitely was a killer. That's for sure. But you know what? Right up to that, she did amazing.
Yeah, I thought Destiny had a great fight, and that Brittany girl like took it to her. She stopped the better athlete. It's a good fight. We had a guy that pooped himself, so throwing up's not so bad. He had these white shorts on. He was fighting. He had pizza and beer the night before. He crapped himself. His stain in his pants kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Every podcast, I got to make fun of him.
Hashtag Mickey Gaskin.
Yeah, Mickey Gaskins.
If you ever want to look it up, it's probably on YouTube somewhere.
It's on YouTube. Look it up. Mickey Gaskins FCP fights. And you can see the stain on his pants get bigger from the second round on. If you're into that kind of thing.
Well, there's the Mickey plug for the day.
That's the Mickey plug for the day.
But thank you so much. Personally, I just want to say thank you for representing women in such a positive way. Just the way how you come off on the interview with the caveman before the fight, and the way you showed up for the fight, that was inspiring. You didn't just have the talks. You also brought the goods. So I thank you for that. And of course, as an audience, I thank you for putting on such a great fight with Stacy. I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat and just biting my nails going like, what's going to happen with this at the end? So thank you.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
You bye-bye. Too. Bye, Carrie.
I got my A in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What did you think about the show itself?
Last night, I think for a first show that Jay Kelly put on for Diamond, it's definitely a respectable show. I wish Jay Kelly would have been able to brought more women fighters in. I'm not sure the men's boxing fight really belong in there, the exhibition fights. No offense to the four gentlemen that actually went in and did the exhibition. But I just don't know if that was the right place to put those on. I guess I would rather have seen more of the teenage girls come out and showcase their skill sets, because I know some of the girls came out at the beginning.
He actually had more at the end. They were going to switch around opponents,
right?
But they had to cancel the show because of the commission.
Right, so I guess I knew that too, and I guess I would have rather he canceled those men's boxing exhibitions, because it just really didn't mean much to the audience or to anybody.
They kept making them tune it down a little bit. I know it's an exhibition, but you got to put a show on for the fans, I think.
Right.
I like the kids' part. I think the grappling match would have been all right because it's really competitive. I think it killed the crowd a little bit. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. He's only had four fights because he had women pull out at the last minute. But
yeah, it's never easy to put on one of these shows. I just want people out there to know who kind of looked at this as, oh, you only have four fights. It's so hard to even put on a co-ed show, let alone you're trying to put on all female card. But I think credits to all the eight ladies that went out yesterday. I think every one of them did great. They went out there with their hearts. So the first fight was Hoffman against Cassandra. I think that fight, even though there are some people think it ended in a rear way, but I think Andrea went out there and did her thing. She's tough at the gym, and she really put that toughness out.
What did you think about when she had mount? She hit the girl in the back of the head, and they stood him up.
I think that was pretty fast because, it happens in a fight like this, in a scramble. I firmly believe no one really intentionally trying to hit the other person's back of the head, knowing it is an illegal move.
They instructed the fighters they were going to stand them up if they happened, but when you're throwing punches from mount like that, you need to give at least a warning. It needs to be more than one punch to stand them up.
Right. So I thought that was a quick stand up, but I guess they probably erring on the side of caution. They don't want anybody to actually get hurt. But, you know, it really stops the momentum of the fighter when you stand them up like this. But, you know, kudos to Andrea. She continued to fight at the pace she was fighting with the aggressiveness. I think having known her, my only concern when she went into this fight is her ability to stay aggressive or even be aggressive, because generally she's a very nice person outside of the cage. So I'm glad she got the win. And, you know, she's one of those moms that has a huge family support from her kids. And that's something I love to see, how supportive her family are to her. And that was a family moment at the end. That was awesome.
What did you think about the stoppage?
I was sitting
throwing under the bus, caveman's corner.
I was sitting cage side, and I was watching the fight because it was one fight that I really wanted to see. Well, I wanted to see every one of these fights, but the first three fights are closer to heart. So I was watching the fight. I have to say, my initial reaction was a little confused. I wasn't sure why the ref stopped it. To me, it looks like they are just on the way down when he stopped it. Personally, I think it should have been left on a little longer. But according to Andrea's, who was in the cage, her description of that was the ref didn't want the other girl to get hurt. So again, I think it was just erring on the side of caution a little too much. You know, I would have let that fight go on. Like, I think that fight should have been let on a little longer. I'm not sure the result's going to be any different. I think by that point, Andrea has probably got the fight in her hands. But I still think that Cassandra should have given more of a chance to really showcase her skill sets.
I think so, too. I felt bad for Cassandra. She left the cage. I know she got suspended, but I would be very upset with that stoppage myself. Right. I've seen her go down. I could see in her eyes she looked okay when she was heading to the mat.
Mm-hmm.
There was no really damaging shots after.
No.
I thought it was a very quick stoppage. I thought Andrea got rocked earlier in the fight, and they gave her a chance to recover.
Right.
I thought they should let the fight go on. I thought that Andrea was clearly in control of the fight. I thought she was winning. She won the first round. She definitely won the second round when they had to stop, but she definitely won that round as well.
Right.
I think she had the fight in hand, but I just don't like to see the fights on that way. I hate to have the controversy.
Right. And, you know, again, you know, every fighter goes into these fights preparing themselves, put a lot of hard work in. For that fight to be stopped like that is heartbroken for Cassandra. I don't, you know, not taking anything away from Andrea Hoffman. She did a great job in there.
It was her debut fight as well.
Right. So she did great, but, you know, every fighter puts in so much work for these things. They have to cut weight, and for women to cut weight is so much harder anyways. So
actually, I don't think Cassandra had to cut any weight because...
Oh, that's right. That was a smaller weight. Fight. Yeah, she was coming in a smaller girl. Yeah. But either way...
Hoffman had to cut the weight.
Right, but either way, though, you know, you put in so much training time, mm-hmm. It just said that you got cut off that fast.
I just want to say for Cassandra, you need to just keep your head up, get back, and hit the grind. You did really well on the feet. You were fighting a bigger opponent. You did just need to work a little bit on the wrestling. For Hoffman, you need to make angles. You're standing right there getting rocked. You got to step off away from the power. And when you're on the ground, I know it's your first fight. You got to go to work, baby. You got to put the beat down on. It's not jiu-jitsu no more. All right, next fight.
That was fight of the night between Kara Siegler and Stacey Young. You know, I've seen Stacey fight before. She's always a warrior. She's one tough cookie. She's always in there banging it out. So I wasn't surprised for her to be in there like that. And Carrie just came out aggressive, stay aggressive. She's a lot shorter. There was a huge height advantage on Stacy's part, disadvantage on Carrie's part. But Carrie was out there. She was just going. And that was so good to see. As a woman who enjoys MMA, who enjoys even more for women to fight, I just think that was amazing. I think every woman should come out and fight like that. I mean, of course, everybody's a different personality, but aggressiveness to me in a fight is a huge, huge bonus.
This was a rock'em sock'em robot fight. They stood toe-to-toe at the center of the cage to start the fight. This is the first time I've ever seen Stacey drop. Ziegler, I think, dropped her twice in the first round, if I remember correctly. I might need to watch the fight again. But I was really worried for Stacey. I've never seen her rock before. I could see in her eyes that she was a little dazed and confused. You could see that she wasn't quite there. And I don't know if that had any play in a fight. But as the fight went on, I thought Stacy was in better shape and started taking over the fight. Honestly, Carrie said that the knees didn't affect her. I thought maybe Stacy's knees were taking a little bit of the juice out of her, but Stacy came in a little bit better shape, I think, for this fight.
Yeah, I think Carrie definitely won the first round. I think Stacy won the second round. Third round is where I think they break the tie. Personally, I think Stacy having gone down in the third round didn't do her any favor in terms of decision from the judges.
Are you talking about that headlock, the like schoolboy headlock position? Yeah. In the corner of the cage there?
Yeah, I think it's before that she went down, before the headlock thing. But to me, as an audience, I always think, and having watched so many MMA fights, judges puts a lot of weight on going, you know, fighters going down or being taken down. It always seems to be a disadvantage to the fighters. So, but man, Stacy is tough out there.
Caveman's Corner, we threw her under the bus. What do you think about the decision?
I agree with the decision. I think, even though I think both ladies really went out there and did their thing, and Stacy is, you know, she loaned me her boxing gloves. When I first went to the boxing class at our gym, I loved the girl, but I think that was a good decision.
You think if we're in America, Stacy wins that fight?
No, I think I really think that was a good decision. I know I'm not winning myself any friends and fans at the moment, but I think that was a good decision.
I thought it was a pick'em decision, to be honest with you. I thought Stacy definitely lost the first. I wish if they had half points, this fight wouldn't be in debate, because I would say that first round would be, it wasn't a 10-8 round, but I would say it would be a 10-8 and a half round, because I thought Carrie definitely controlled more of the first round of the fight, and she did more damage. She hurt Stacy. Second round, I thought Stacy came back strong and she won. She's really started putting the knees on. Third round, I thought was pretty even. Stacy got back up to her feet after the first takedown, and I think this fight all boils down to how you call that schoolyard takedown, who you give the takedown to at the end there when Carrie ended up on the back. If you give Stacy that takedown and Carrie gets to the back and they both come up to the feet, I think that's where that fight's won. But I think Carrie won that fight myself. If I was judging it, I would have called her the winner. But it's definitely a pick'em fight. I think if you're in America and you have the crowd cheering for Stacy, maybe it changes the referees, or not the referees, but the judges' opinion of that fight.
Right. So, I mean,
to be honest, there was not much fan excitement.
No.
To really sway the judges. So there wasn't much home field advantage for Carrie in this fight.
Yeah, I think at one point I actually screamed, like, clap and say, great show, ladies. And I got both sides of the fans clapping a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think everybody, it wasn't that people weren't cheering for them. I really, personally, I think it was just such a nail-biting fight that people were so concentrating and watching and just being nervous for both ladies that they just didn't think about cheering and screaming for them. So here's my thing. I know you're throwing me under the bus a little bit here about, you know, who do you think about this fight? What do you think about this fight? I know most people not going to really care what I think, because I don't actually fight. I just train. What I say doesn't carry too much weight anyway. So if you hear this and you don't agree with me, hey, that's fine. We're just audience.
You know what I found interesting about this fight? Mm-hmm. Both girls were grabbing each other's clothes when they were throwing fights. That's why I throwing fists.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said it was reminiscent of a hockey fight. The referee didn't say one thing about that, even when we talk about all the strikes to the back of the head.
I would be very interested to know how many fights the ref actually refed before this.
Me too. I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get a chance. So I was going to ask him how many fights. And the judges were very, very young.
Yes. Yes, they were.
They would look like to be in their early, early 20s, if even that old.
Well, looks can be deceiving, but they are definitely not like 40, 50-year-olds. Yeah. So they're definitely younger judges.
Ontario's got a new commission. I didn't think it was that great of a commission. I didn't think the refereeing was that good. And this is the fight where I started timing the round, the breaks in the rounds, and they were definitely not the same. Also in this fight, I believe it was this fight, they stopped the action for a minute. They never stopped the time of the fight. So the clapper went, and then the round ended. And I just the whole timekeeping thing, that was kind of a little bit of a mess, I thought.
Yeah, I think in terms of reffing, it was a bit of a mess in most of the fights. So, but
I think all the areas of commission, reffing, timekeeping, the clapper, Val, one of our coaches, spilled water about 3 or 4 times in the ring, and they never even talked to her about that. As an expert water spiller myself, I know that I get talking to the first time I spill the water.
Right.
And that's something they need to really work on in Ontario. They have a relatively new commission.
Yeah, that's why I think it really possibly is the inexperience of the referee. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes it's hard when you go out to these fights. You can't leave it in the judge's hands if you want to win. And sometimes you just have to suck it up to bad reffing. And unfortunately, sometimes it is. And it's heartbreaking at times. But these things do happen, unfortunately.
What about the third fight?
So, Mance is my girl.
Alphas all day!
You know, it's hard for me to talk about it, even.
Oh, you're crying.
No. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
I don't feel
that bad. She took the fight.
She took the fight, but I feel like...
It's a fighter's life.
It's a fighter's life, but she was outmatched. The honest opinion is that she was outmatched by this girl. I was very impressed by Isabel. She is amazing. I play a video game called Tekken 7. I feel like watching her fight is like watching myself play Tekken 7 with one of the female characters on the video game. She moves insanely fast. It's really hard for Mance to even catch a break to defend herself or throw a punch or kick back or trying to do a takedown. I'm no expert. I'm sure like coaches, you know, experienced fighters looking at this fight can break it down differently. So to me, it was very outmatched.
I think Mance landed one strike in 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Right. And I'm not sure, you know, obviously people who match up these fights, yes, the fighter agrees to fight these fights. But also the person who match up these fights, should also know better. And to bring in someone, in that scenario, I think it was very unfair to the fighters. I don't know how, you know, how this all worked out at the beginning. But I just think that someone in that whole situation should take some responsibility besides Mance herself.
I actually told Mance, I'm pretty good friends with Rich Mitchell. I don't really know Jay Kelly that well. I work with him on this show, but not too often. And Rich Mitchell offered... Mance Isabel Lacroix too, and I told her that we should probably turn this one down. It's not a very good fight for her, and she ended up fighting in Diamond. It's hard for Isabel to get fights. No one wants to fight her, and Mance is that person. She's like, I'll fight anyone, fuck it, I don't care.
Right, but also I think whoever, you know, when they need fights, they're gonna try to convince the fighter, hey, you can do this.
That's the job of a promoter.
Right, they're gonna sweet talk all the fighters. They're gonna tell the fighters, I'm gonna do this.
That Jay Kelly's yes. A handsome bastard.
Yeah, Jay Kelly is handsome. Handsome young man. He's a boxer. He looks good. He puts on that little suit. And I mean, he's, you know, I can say this. I'm a married man. I'm a lot older.
You're a married
than
man?
I'm a married woman.
But you identify as a man.
Yeah, right now, at that moment. I identify. No, it's he for she. but, you know, sometimes there has to be a little more morality standard going on in here.
Actually, speaking of morality, I had Mans on an interview, and she talked about how she knows Jay Kelly, and they kind of have, I don't know how personal relationship, but they definitely have a personal relationship more than a fighter and management. So when I wrote the interview, she thought maybe I'd edit some of that out, but I didn't. And to be honest with you, if anyone thinks there's any impropriety going on between Jay Kelly and Mans, I don't think that she really got the good end of that impropriety because anyone that's matched up with Isabella is not getting an easy fight.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there in the media or whatever this is.
Right.
Fake media. We're fake news.
We're fake news. You're fake news. I'm not fake news. You're fake news.
Wrong!
I'm real media, which is, we don't say
anything.
I
made a sticker that said fake me or almost media before. Remember that?
Yeah.
I need to make that again while we do these podcasts.
Right. But so, you know, besides that whole point with Mance, like I said, you know, Mance is a little closer to heart to me. I love the girl. But at the same time, not to take away anything from Isabel, but Isabel needs to really be given a more higher level competition. this girl can go pro at any moment.
Isabella,
I think,
can't get it, you know. And I think she's not. If she turns pro in MMA, she can't fight amateur MMA anymore.
Right.
And like she said in the cage, she's looking to win another national title, so she's not going to turn pro.
So yeah, she. But she's
Emmy Weber. What do you think about her? Emmy Weber.
I think, you know, Emmy might give her a better run of the money. Emmy is would come in taller. Emmy has, I think, Emmy might, and Emmy's more experienced. She is more experienced. So I would say, yeah, Emmy might be a good matchup in terms of the female fighters we know at that size. And again, sizes does matter. Like earlier when Carrie said that, her being a bigger girl had a hard time finding fights at 165. But it seems to go at every weight class, because we know another female fighter who fights 135 offer herself to fight 145, will cut down to 130, 125, and just offer different weight classes and can't find a fight.
Right.
So that is hard for women. It's hard to find fights, especially at amateur level too.
For sure. And then Val, too, trying to get a pro fight.
Right. Same thing with Valerie.
We're running close to a hard stop, so let's get into the last fight.
Okay, so... well, okay, so I will have to say I was a little disappointed with the fight. The reason being, going into watching this fight, I knew Destiny is a very, very good fighter.
That's Destiny Kianz.
Yes. So,
I learned how to say her name.
Kianz. Destiny Kianz. So I guess going in, I had more of a different expectation of what that fight is going to look like. I feel like her corner should have done a better job of maybe improvising a little bit with a game plan. It seems to me, the unprofessional opinion, that Destiny was going in doing the same game plan over and over again and keeps failing at that game plan and no one is changing it. So I don't know if that is the corner or that is the fighter herself, but this is goes beyond fighting, right? This is life. When something doesn't work out for you, it's time to improvise. It's time to make a change. You cannot do the same thing over and over and over again and just fail at it over. It was hard to watch her fail. She couldn't take her down. She couldn't take down Brittany Allen. And I just think that it was almost sad to watch that she couldn't execute a good game plan.
I'm going to get Brittany on next week, I'm pretty sure. She was traveling today. She was unable to come on. I wanted to try and get as many girls on as I could to review it, but we just got Carrie. I agree to a point what you're saying, but I look at it the other way around. I think that Allen's corner is the one that they changed what they were doing.
Right.
Because I thought Destiny came out and she owned the first round. Her hand speed was really good. She still had trouble taking her down, but she was winning the exchanges with the hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her boxing is really fluid. She's a much better physical specimen, better athlete. I'm not a better fighter, but a much higher physical specimen of athlete than Allen was. And Destiny was able to exploit that, and she was landing heavy shots. And at one point, it sounded like Allen's head was a punching bag. It was like, oosh, oosh. I was like, oh, man, this could be over pretty quick. But Allen stuffed her takedown. And that's one thing in a pre-fight interview. Destiny's like, I can take this girl down anytime I want. I'm a purple belt. I can do all this. And then she
got overconfident.
Yeah, she got stuck in that guillotine. And she was trying to do like a wrestler's take the back. And every time she put her head up, that girl would sink in that guillotine. It took a little bit of the sauce out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Brittany's corner adjusted what they were doing on the feet in the corner. Or Brittany just figured out the range herself. Because from the second, the third, the fourth round, you just see her. She was able to control the distance with her kicks. She started using spinning techniques in the third round. She was doing a spinning back fist, mm-hmm. spinning kick. She threw another spinning back fist. She controlled the space.
Right.
And Destiny started fading because she couldn't get that takedown. Because she lost her one advantage. She lost what she had, that physical specimen, that boxing. And Allen took the boxing away from her. And it really changed the tone of the fight.
Right. I mean, yeah. So on Destiny's side, I just think someone should have changed the game plan when she... in the second round when she had a hard time.
What would you change the plan to?
I would just change the plan to more closing down that space. Maybe just also teaching her how to do the take. So I've gone to a couple wrestling classes. My husband is a wrestler who's sitting right across from me. I feel like every time I try to learn how to do a takedown or I try to do a takedown, you always said, keep your head up, look forward, do not look down. I don't execute this in real life, but, you know, theoretically, I know what you're talking about. And I, on last night's fight, when Dustin was trying to take down Brittany, her head was not up. She was not looking forward. Her head was down. So she had a hard time. So she keeps getting her head pushed down.
Brittany was doing that by controlling the space, I believe, though.
Right.
She's keeping the space. So what's happening is she's controlling that space. Destiny's trying to shoot from too far out. Mm-hmm. And Brittany's able to stuff the takedown. When she's not able to stuff the takedown, she's able to play with her hips and get her legs outside and push that head down. And she ended up in that front headlock position over and over and over and over and over again. And she has a great anaconda series off of there. You can tell that she plays that position a lot. And once you're stuck down there, it's hard to get out. Ken's an experienced wrestler. I think maybe Destiny's camp came in underestimating the wrestling of Brittany Allen a little bit.
Right. And I think that's one thing to fighters, non-fighters, people who do jujitsu. I haven't been around, like, I've been around this martial arts community for a while. I don't practice as much as myself, being a working mom, and that my husband spends 7 days in the gym. So somebody has to stay home. But I look at that as, I see that a lot because there is a differential in how everybody assessing themselves and how every gym assess their fighters and their jiu-jitsu practitioners and boxers or whatever. So you might consider yourself a great purple belt. That person might be a great blue belt as far as you can tell, or just a blue belt. But that blue belt could be possibly at the same level as a purple belt at your gym, just because every gym assess their people differently and the way they assess their practitioners are different. So you can't come in and just compare belts. And also there's also people with natural talents. I've seen this over and over again and run into people like that over and over again because I'm always envious of those natural athletic abilities some of these girls and guys have that, you know, they could have come in and train 5 classes and they do some of the moves better than people who have been training for 3 months, 6 months, just because they have those natural ability, natural instincts. So you can't really come in and say, oh, I can't do the takedown all day. You don't know. You never fought this girl before. You never trained with this girl before. So you just have to kind of...
Maybe it was racism.
No, but you have to have a little bit of...
I'm buying my head that out. Poor... She thought she's a black girl that's an unathletic white girl. I'm going to take her down and smash her.
Yeah. Having really, at the end of the day, I don't know Destiny personally, but I think overall, in general, in terms of MMA fighters, people who compete a lot, I see as a whole, the community should have a little more humility in life. I really see a lot of cocky people walking around, people who are overconfident. It's not they're bad people. It's not that they have a bad attitude in life. It's just that this type of life makes them that way. And like we've talked about this before in private, that you almost need to have that personality.
Yeah, you definitely do.
To become a fighter. But I think, you know, maybe you need to have that personality a little bit to become a fighter outwardly. But inwardly, sometimes it's good to do some self-reflection and just keeping your humility down a little bit.
All right, I go get my ass kicked. So all right, we gotta get out of here. We're gonna play some, I don't know, whatever this music is, and get out of here. From the Fan Doozy Studios in Buffalo, New York, we're out of here. I hope she had her Gangster Products headset on for that. So her ears just got blown out.
My ears got blown out. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I turn up the headphones too.
I know you turn up the headphones, but I don't know what's wrong with you. Why do you do that to people?
Gangster.
No, you're not. You're a
products.
You're a caveman.
Buy that.
You're
headset.
Not gangster.
Just Rich Mitchell.
Just like those rappers last night, they're not gangsters.
Shameless caveman plugs. All day.
Okay, caveman.
Worst Easter egg ever. Not really.
Yeah,
the other
just,
one was worse.
You know what? How about you just don't try to be a rapper then? I just want to say...
Oh, that's not rap.
Just because you have a neck tattoo does not mean you're a gangster.
I don't have a neck tattoo.
No, I'm not talking about you.
I could draw one with magic marker.
Yeah. So sometimes we need to leave rapping to people who's actually a gangster.
Force, rapping's on you. Gangster Asian.
If you ever want to listen to Asians rap, you should listen to MC Jin.
MC Jin in the house!
That's not how he raps.
No, I don't know. That's how a white MC Jin raps.